Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Down, down, down. Carl, how you doing? Are you all right?
How's it going, Dave? How are you?
It's going very well indeed. Now, let's take a look at something here, because you were one of the very few of the billions who wanted to but didn't, who went to see Ed Sheeran last night at Whelan's in Wexford Street in Dublin. Now, the gig wasn't necessarily the gig kind of gig. It was basically for television. Any good?
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. I'm not overselling it either. It was magic.
Okay, hold on. Before you go any further, you might as well just get a little bit of the hot stuff out of the way, because the papers this morning are full of it, as they kind of were mentioned yesterday too, in terms of the problems with it, which have nothing to do with Whelan's. They weren't the ticket allocators or anything else. It was to do with VH1. It was to do with the fact that it was a gig for American TV, and lots of people travelled an awful long way thinking they were going to get tickets and didn't, because they hadn't read the small print or was the first come, first served. Did you meet any of them, first of all, outside, who couldn't believe they couldn't get in because they didn't have tickets, or had they already gone by Friday?
Yeah, everyone was gone. I didn't see anything. The only place I saw anyone kind of disgruntled was online on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can feel like, I mean, I feel so sorry for people like that, because I can imagine the excitement of being told you were given tickets and then turning up. But what VH1 have said is that actually in the small print it said, you know, there's still a first come, first served basis.
Yeah, exactly. Like in the Sunday World this morning, Ed's got that love and Whelan's sheer joy for Irish fans. His little gig is global hit. But the other side of things would be in the Mail here and also in the Mirror. The Mirror has sheer disgust. Fans turned away from Ed gig after they won tickets. But in the one in the Mail, it just says you can't come in even if you have tickets. And it says here, it's somewhere along the way. Where is it? Yeah, the UK company which operates ticketing services for free gigs said wristbands were given out on a first come, first served basis, necessary to oversubscribe for the event to ensure it was full because it was broadcast live. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Anyway, let's get that bit out of the way and let's take a look at the gig itself. Ed Sheeran, are you a fan, first of all, Carol?
I am a big fan. I mean, I've seen him when he plays the 2FM gig back during the summer, and like he played four songs just there, and it was absolutely magic. So to see him somewhere like Whelan's was really, really special.
Okay, he played for what, about an hour and a half?
Well, it was live on the TV, it was live for an hour, but then it continued as a webcast for another hour after that as well.
And did he explain why he picked Whelan's as a venue? It was his choice. I mean, like, don't forget, like everybody who's very successful over this part of the world, one of the real kind of badges of success is if you also make it in America. That's what makes Adele so big. That's what makes so many of them big and others smaller. This guy has made it huge in America as well. So did he chat to the crowd a lot?
Yeah, he actually, well, one thing he said about Whelan's was he said VH1, when they approached him about this, they said he could play any venue he wanted in the world, and he picked Whelan's. And it was because for him, that's where it all started. As a 12-year-old, he went with his cousin to see Damien Rice for the first time ever. And he had never written a song. And it was after he saw that gig, he met Damien Rice, thought he was a really nice guy. And he decided, okay, I want to start writing music. So that, for him, that's why he wanted to play there last night, because it was where it all kind of kicked off from.
Look, as a concerned parent, I have to ask, as a 12-year-old in Whelan's? My God,
it was a gig.
Doesn't matter. They serve alcohol. Anyway, a 12-year-old in Whelan's. I've never seen a 12-year-old in Whelan's in my life. Anyway, even with red hair, which you can stand out in the crowd. So he chatted to a lot of the crowd, I suppose. Did he explain the songs? Isn't that what that program kind of does often? It tells you what the songs are and what they were and all the rest.
Yeah, he gave a couple of little interesting stories about the songs as well. One thing that was quite funny was he mentioned that Lego House, which was just absolutely huge. It was probably like the second single from his first album that really solidified his status in Ireland anyway, I'm sure around the world as well. But he said that actually when he had written that, it was written for, he wrote it for JLS. And apparently they said no, because the label said it was silly to sing about Lego.
Wow.
So this, you know, mega hit for him. No one wanted it because they thought, well, you can't sing about Lego. That's ridiculous.
He should have sang Everything Is Awesome.
Yeah. It was funny as well. He was speaking about collaborating with Pharrell on Sing. And Pharrell seems like a real character, the way he describes him. He said that, like, you know, they pretty much just sat in a room and Pharrell sat on a laptop creating beats. And, you know, if he did one that Ed didn't like, Ed would just kind of go, nah, and they go on to another one. And then eventually Pharrell got this beat going and kind of a hook line, and Ed kind of goes, nah, I don't really like it. And Ed was like, okay, Pharrell was like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then about 5 minutes later, Ed kind of found himself humming the hook line that they had just passed over.
Right,
and Pharrell turned and said, you sure you don't want to go back to that? So that's what kind of created Sing.
Okay, because like I presume, like, you know, everybody knows Whelan's for the last 20 years. It was the Baggot Inn kind of before that. And neither venue is as conducive to a good live gig as you might imagine because of the layout and the construction. A lot of people would disagree with me on that, but I think it's slightly odd and could be a bit better. But such is life. It still has the memories and has the history and is absolutely brilliant. But I presume there were a heck of a lot of cameras must have been in your way and you had to duck your head or swing in cranes and things. Or was it like that?
It was very clever how they set it up, actually. They had, like, you know, a few handheld cameras with cameramen standing up on platforms so they could film the crowd. But then, I mean, see, if anyone isn't familiar with Whelan's kind of the gig area, it's kind of nearly like a square where, like, there's a balcony where people can look down and then there's the floor where all the crowd stand. And actually across the two sides of the balcony, they had a beam running and that had a camera that was moving across the hallway and a camera that could pivot 360. And then on the balcony, they had a camera on a crane that could move around. Like, I mean, they did an incredible job in such a small venue. But yeah, I think it was 13 cameras that they had. And the one thing they had to ask people was, we're on TV, let us film it, please. Don't have your phones out for the whole thing. But of course, once Ed Sheeran walked out, everyone had the phones out anyway.
I love it. Okay, what did he open with? Or do you know his stuff well enough for that?
Yeah, he opened up with Don't. So, I mean, that's been getting absolutely massive radio play as well. The really interesting thing about Ed as well is that he has these songs that sound so full, but it's only him on the stage. And it's because he uses this looping pedal. And I mean, you know, he'll come onto the stage and he'll start off just with a tiny bit of guitar and he works it up and up and builds it and builds it and builds it until it's this huge sounding song. And it's him and his guitar and the looping pedal. It's magic.
Yeah, sure. A bunch of months ago, wasn't he? Five nights in a row or something at the O2 or the 3 Arena and like in front of 10,000 or 12,000 every single night. Just him on a stage with the looping pedal.
Yeah, yeah, without the looping pedal, I don't think he could fill those big venues. But I mean, his accuracy and just how clever he is with using it. I mean, he sometimes layers his own voice about four or five times. It really is. It's very, very special to watch.
Listen, I've just got a thing here. Look, which is the Daily Edge has picked up your tweet from the concert. One of the most incredible gigs I've ever been to! Absolute magic! Thank you, spelled wrongly by the way. It's just you. It's Y-O-U. Anyway, doesn't matter. I presume, like, where would you put that in terms of your gigs that you've seen? Like, what number would it be?
I'll have to think about it. I'll have to let it all settle in. I am excited because I was just there, but right now I would probably put it up in top three.
And have you seen more than three gigs?
Of course I have. U2, the first time I saw U2 is number one. I think that'll always be number one because it's just, you know, incredible. But Ed, purely for the atmosphere, I kind of thought, like, you know, and I've been to a good few gigs, I'll be fine. I won't be, you know, overcome by this. And then I was like a screaming fangirl once I get in. It was just, it totally, totally infectious. And how they built the crowd up and, you know, VH1 came on and said, look, we're going live at 5 to 12. So, you know, we need everyone to be like really, really excited when it starts. It was really, really.
And can people see the gig? Is there a recording of it online anywhere? Like, obviously, besides the VH1 thing.
Yeah, well, if you go onto the VH1 website, you can actually look back at clips of it. Or as well, it's going to be repeated. If anyone didn't see it, it's repeated on Wednesday at 11 o'clock on TV as well. But you will get stuff like pretty much straight away online.
Right, and were there any bastard celebrity type people there who sneaked their way in?
Our very own Owen McDermott was there.
What? Oh my God.
Well, he's good buddies with
He'd be
well.
A good buddy and invited.
Yes, of course. And Robbie Keane was there. Elmo from Love Hate. Apparently Jedward were there as well. I didn't spot them. Gavin James was there.
There's only 100 people. You must be able to spot Jedward.
Yeah, I actually can't believe they're the only people I didn't spot. Every other celebrity who they said was there, I did spot at some stage. Right. But not Jedward, actually.
Maybe they've lost the quiffs, have they? I haven't heard too much from them lately. All right, if you go to Panto, I'm sure. Okay, listen, look, Carl, good man yourself. Thank you very much indeed. A memorable weekend for you. One that you'll dine out on for years to come.
Absolutely. Definitely.
Right. Okay. And by the way, one last thing too. Damien Rice was the one. Wasn't that one of the reasons he picked the venue? Because he saw him there when he was 12, as you call it. I don't know, maybe he did or didn't, back in 2004. Point is, did people expect Damien to... Like, Damien's got the album out now. He's been away off the scene for a bunch of years. He's got a sellout gig coming up pretty soon, I know too. Were people expecting Damien Rice to get up on stage with him?
I actually made a bet with someone before the concert. I said, it's way less likely that he won't turn up.
Hold on a second. Wait a second. I'm trying to process that. Way less likely that he won't turn up. In other words, that he will turn up.
I was sure he was going to turn up. I was absolutely sure of it. And he didn't. Which I couldn't believe. I just thought it would have been brilliant TV. I suppose that was one of the more disappointing elements, because to see the two of them perform together would have been just...
It would have been your number one then. All right, well, listen, Carl Mullen, good man yourself, Carl. Thank you very much indeed. Fair play to you. All right, good luck.